sounds like Batman music. Hello there, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell, of course, always helping out. Great to be with you here on this Monday night where everybody has gotten the COVID vaccine except me. Coach, how you doing?
I've got the vaccine.
I know, and I don't understand how you got in front of line, in front of me, but whatever. Good for you.
I'm going to be healthier than me, that's all.
No, not really. The thing is, what's good is, I forget who I was talking to. It might have been my primary care physician, but she said, okay, even if you don't get it, what's the good news is that the more people who get it, the better off we all are. And so I'm going with that. And so many people I know have gotten the vaccine, and they're feeling very confident and very optimistic. And I'm going to take that route too, even though I'm not even registered yet. I go every day and I check like 6,000 websites, and I enter all this stuff, and then I get kicked out. And then then it says, well, check back in 3 months. But anyway, congratulations, Coach. It's got to be a bit of a relief for you.
I happened to get lucky. I made known that they were available up at the Ferncroft up in Doubletree now. And I actually got it the day before that the governor announced that 65-year-olds with comorbidities could call up and register. And so I got mine scheduled for Friday afternoon. So I did luck out there. I ran into an old colleague, Dave Unit from Gloucester High School this afternoon at Market Basket in Gloucester. And he was saying he hasn't had the shots yet, but he said, you know, I'm not all that concerned because, you know, I'm younger, I'm healthier, I don't have any of the comorbidities, and so many people around me are getting the shots.
Right.
So it's lessening the likelihood that he's going to get it.
Yep, that's a great point. And I'm stealing myself to that because I'm much older than you, and I thought I would be getting it before this. But as you just said and Dave said, you know, everybody around us is getting it, and so it's less likely, even though they could possibly be asymmetric. You know, it's looking likely that they're not going to be able to pass it on. And so the more who get it, the better off we are.
Yeah, you know, but we still have to remember that the pandemic is still with us. People are still getting it in large numbers. People are still dying of it in large numbers, and so we still have to take the precautions in order to continue the downward trend. Wear the mask, stay socially distant, no big travel plans. So, you know, as long as we continue to be smart, and of course we know there are lots of Americans out there that are down in Florida for spring break and all, that aren't being smart. And, you know, Dr. Fauci and other medical leaders are all saying that, you know, we could see another surge out of this week's activities several weeks from now. So, you know, we still have to be smart.
Yes.
That's the thing.
All right. We got a cool show again here this evening. We're kind of focusing sort of on Northeastern Conference football. And we'll be talking in the first half hour with Salem High School football coach Mac Bouchard and also with Winthrop High School football coach Jonathan Cadigan. And we have a lot of interviews up online that we keep updating. And so we hope you check them out. And let me just check on here, see the – yeah, it's called Around the North Shore preseason look at Fall 2 High School football with the coaches. And we've got about, I don't know, 9 or 10 of those interviews up there, and we keep updating them every single day. And it's both Cape Ann League, Northeast Conference, and the Catholic Conference, and so on. So please check those out. And I would also recommend you check out the Salem News Sportscast podcast that we have up here on this site right now, and also take a look at the Salem News Monday edition, where they highlight and preview high school football in the region as well. They do a much more in-depth job than we're able to do. But we are going to talk with Coach Bouchard, Coach Cadigan tonight. And then we'll also check in later on with our usuals. We'll check in with the sports historian and golf writer Gary Larrabee, along with Mike Grenier, who is our resident Celtics expert and basketball guru, if you will. And Coach, what catches your eye before we take our first break in terms of sports, either on the professional level or on the local level?
You know, I turned on the NBA All-Star game yesterday for the sum total of, I think it was, three possessions yesterday afternoon. And I saw the same guy get the rebound on one end by simply standing underneath the basket. Because he came down, well, not the team, a guy came down, threw it up, missed it. This guy grabbed the rebound, gave it to somebody who ran up, took a shot, missed it, came back down the other end, and he didn't move. He didn't go past the foul line.
He
turned around and took it. And I'm like, you can't be serious. And I saw the final score, and I'm like, you know, pretend to play defense. But, you know, pretend to make it effort. There was no effort whatsoever. It may well have been one-on-one, full length, where two guys just ran up and shot the ball.
Well,
it was disgusting.
Kind of makes you wonder, with all the vocations we have in this country, where you can't even take 2 minutes off or get a lunch break, what these guys do, you know, for the money they make.
To me, it was absolutely one of the biggest wastes of time that anybody would want to spend money on.
Yeah, well, I wonder, we should discuss that at some point about the efficacy, how do you like that word, of all-star games in any sport. They've lost my favor with me. I have no interest in any all-star game in any sport.
You know, baseball does play it closer to the rules, you know, but even then, you know, when the league came up with, well, let's tie it to whoever wins hosts the World Series.
Yeah.
No. The tradition was you alternated every year.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Well, let's make the All-Star game really worth something.
Yeah, really.
The guys who made it took great pride in playing in the All-Star game and beating the other team. You know?
But they also weren't making enough money to last them and their progeny for five generations henceforth comfortable. They weren't making that kind of money, so they took pride in what they did.
Yeah, but I mean, even when Selig decided to change it, and you know, because there was one game where they used every single player, and there was nobody left, and they got upset, they had to basically call the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, you know, those things happen. You don't have to call the game off.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's take a break, Coach. We'll talk about this with Mike Grenier in a little while, and we'll come back and check in with Salem High School football coach Matt Bouchard. This is North Shore Sports Night. I am Rick Moore. That's Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Thank you for being with us on MSO News Sports. We'll be back.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Did you grow up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home? Were you abused or suffered childhood trauma at the hands of a parent or caregiver? Have you tried self-help or counseling without success? ACA can help. ACA is a 12-step recovery program for adults whose lives are affected as a result of being raised in an alcoholic or dysfunctional family. To find out how others like you have found healing from traumatic childhoods, go to adultchildren.org. That's adultchildren.org.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we are back. And I've got to bring in Tim Kearns back here. As got a little screwed up here. Let me just do this. And that's the way it goes sometimes. Let me do this. And let me do that. And there we go. We'll get him back here. Trying to get a hold of Coach Bouchard, but not answering. And we'll try to get a hold of Coach Cadigan here in a few minutes. You there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm back.
Well, what happened was...
miracle of not being hung up on.
We were not able to get a hold of Coach Bouchard. And I talked with Coach Driscoll, Sean Driscoll, just for a couple of seconds. Tried to get him earlier today, and he's tied up, but he was just going on the field. So we'll talk with Coach Driscoll later on, who is the St. Mary's High School football coach, of course, and he used to be at Winthrop. But, you know, it's kind of, the schedules are all kind of messed up here, Tim. As, you know, we're coming into the opening of the high school football season, if you can believe that.
Well, you know, as I mentioned last week, generally coaches are getting ready to play in the snow during this time period. And now they're going to be playing out of the snow.
Yeah, really. Really, so you know, it's shaping up. We have, I think, with 7 or 8 coaches on our website already talking across the Northeastern Conference and the Cape Ann League so far. And to a person, they've said the kids are so excited to be out there. They're following the protocol. They have a lot of the schools, of course, have multi-sport athletes, so they have dealt with this since September, and they know what to do. And so the coaches are sort of counting on the experienced athletes to guide their younger kids along in terms of the COVID protocol. And the main thing is, Tim, is the kids and the coaches alike are just happy to be out there competing.
Well, yeah, certainly. You know, for the kids who only play football, you know, to have the season curtailed when school started, you know, that's part of their usual summer routine. They would work out all summer. They would lift. They would do the 7-on-7s, and then they would have their captain's practices, and then they would actually get back to practicing before school started in the month of August, and all that got, you know, thrown out the door because of the COVID, because of restrictions. And many thought, well, geez, I'm never going to have that opportunity to play that senior year and leave a mark. And especially important for kids, maybe didn't stand out as juniors, but all of a sudden they put together a senior year for the ages, and they get noticed by a college at one division or another, and all of a sudden there's an offer of a scholarship.
Coach, let me interrupt you. I think we got Coach Bouchard here. Let me check it out. I'll try to see if I can figure this out here. Hold on. Coach, you there?
I am.
Hey, good. Let me see if I can bring Tim back on here. I'm trying to figure out these buttons all by myself. Coach Matt Bouchard of Salem High School is with us. Let me see if I can get Tim back. I don't know if I can do this or not. All right, Tim, you there? Hello, Tim. Oh, boy. Oh, you are. Okay. We got Matt Bouchard of Salem High School with us. Coach Matt Bouchard, you with us? Uh-oh. Coach,
sure.
Matt, you there?
So he's faking cutting into my time. Huh?
No, wait, Matt, are you there? All right, hold on. Let me try this again. Matt, you there? Coach Bouchard? Coach, you there?
I am.
All right. Tim, are you there? Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm pressing. Well, anyway, Matt, thanks for being with us. If you hold on one more second, I'm going to see if I can bring Tim back on here. I'm just going to press this button. All right. Tim, are you there? No, we don't have Tim. I lost Coach. All right. Well, Matt, I'm not going to mess with you anymore. You still there? All right. Coach Bouchard is here with us. Matt, how you doing?
How are you?
Okay. I'm a little messed up with these buttons here, but I don't want to keep you any longer. I keep messing up with it. Anyway, you're back on the field, Coach. You guys have a new field?
So it's actually in the process of there's some construction happening at Bertram Field that we're excited about. The field itself isn't being updated. It's actually all the infrastructure around it.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
The locker rooms as well as, new concessions and just really kind of just upgrading a lot of the stuff around the field.
Yeah, that makes sense. The field's in great shape. The stands sometimes in the press box needs well, that's good. So where are you guys practicing right now?
So practicing at the high school. We do try every week to try to get onto some sort of turf. So just working with local high schools to see if we can get some turf time.
Mm-hmm.
But we do actually, the fields at the high school have been actually really good. They've held up, and we got a couple access because it's the springtime right now, and there's not too many teams that have been on it.
Mm-hmm.
The fields, just in general, have been holding up pretty well, so it's been good.
Excellent. All right. Well, you know, 1 week down. Have you did you guys have any scrimmages over the weekend?
We did. We played Linn Tech on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We went over to Manning Field, and just really impressed with where our guys are right now. You know, I think, you know, this is a unique situation, and I think they've been able to adapt, and they've been just really flexible. And coming out of this preseason, you know, I would say that we're probably ahead of our install plan, both offensively and defensively. And
really,
I think that speaks to the character and the type of kids that we have on this year's team. So overall, it's been good. I think the scrimmage really kind of really highlighted some of the kids that have been working extremely hard in the off season,
mm-hmm.
Both. Not only on, you know, their physical strength and agility, but also on just their football IQ, right? A lot of these guys have invested quite a bit of time to really advance their game, and it certainly showed on Saturday.
Well, that suggests you have some senior leadership, Coach, maybe?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I'd start off with Connor McCray. Connor McCray is a senior captain who, has, I think he's earned 3 varsity letters. I'm at the school, sorry about that.
That's all right.
But he's earned his varsity letter for 3 years. He's our starting Mike linebacker,
mm-hmm.
and one of our starting running backs. Last year, I think he was somebody that we really leaned on defensively, and this year we're going to lean a little bit more on him, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So he's going to be one of our primary ball carriers. So I think from a senior leadership, he definitely stands out. I think there's a couple other guys from a senior perspective. Patrick Cordway, he's playing tight end for us as well as outside linebacker. He's kind of one of those kids that I always point to when we talk about, you know, how we approach, you know, business. And he's a guy that has, over the last 4 years, dedicated himself to really trying to be how we define it as elite. And someone that's elite in our program is someone that is really trying to excel in everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So academically, athletically, and socially. And, Patrick's a great example of that. So we're really fortunate we have guys like that we can really lean on. And they set an excellent example, you know, for some of the younger guys that are coming up that do have a lot of talent. They're adding a lot of value to the things we're going to be able to do on the field this year.
Most excellent. Do you have some multi-sport athletes coming in from winter sports?
Yeah, we're real fortunate to have a number of basketball players. One of the ones I highlight is Alex Foligno. Alex Foligno is a basketball player, and he, you know, is somebody that, we're going to use both at like an H-back on offense, and And he's also a physical kid that we're using as defensive end. You know, he's just under probably, I would say, 6'3". He's coming in at, he's coming at about 240. So he's a kid that is certainly going to be a presence, you know, on both sides of the ball, and we're looking forward to, you know, seeing him out there.
Matt, you sound excited about going into this thing, and I'm always amazed that coaches across the spectrum are so psyched about getting this thing underway, even though it's springtime.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for a number of these young men, I've been fortunate enough in Salem. When I got involved, I've seen some of these guys playing, you know, and when they were playing youth, and I've really seen them grow and develop. And, you know, for me to have at least the senior class that we have get an opportunity to play before they graduate, you know, I think it means a lot, not only them, but, you know, I know my staff is just really excited to get that opportunity to coach them one last time before they head off on the next phase. So, you know, we're all excited, and I think we have a team that, you know, we started a lot of young kids last year. And again, we have 7 or 8 guys that have over 15 games of varsity experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have some guys that really understand what we expect of them. They're a year older, and I think they're itching to kind of showcase, you know, what they've learned and showcase, you know, that time to put in, and it's really going to pay off.
How many years is this now for you, coaches, as head coach at Salem?
7.
Wow. Okay. And yep. And you mentioned your staff. You got the staff is mostly back intact.
Yeah, I think that is one of the keys to success, in my opinion, when you're trying to build a successful organization, is to have some guys that you know, are dedicated to the vision of the organization. And I really feel I'm real fortunate to have some guys that have been with me for a number of years. You know, so someone like Mark Cox, who's our office coordinator, you know, I started coaching with him probably in 2000, I want to say 5. So, you know, 2005. So it's been a number of years I've been working with Coach Cox, at whether it be at Salem or other places.
Mm-hmm.
We have Coach Robinson, who I think is starting his 16th year at Salem High School as a teacher coach. He also coaches tennis here, but he's a co-defensive coordinator with Cliff Exelholm. And Cliff, I've been coaching for a number of years too, but he's also our head wrestling coach as well. So we got guys that are really embedded in you know, the Salem High kind of culture, and real fortunate to have some of these guys.
That sounds great, Coach, and I appreciate you taking the time tonight. I'm sorry to get screwed up here at the beginning. I'll check in with you later during the season, and I promise not to mess things up.
Well, I appreciate the time, and I always love talking about Salem football.
Absolutely. First game is when and against whom?
So we got Swampscott on Saturday, and it's a home game for us, but mm-hmm. we're going to be playing at Bishop Fenway.
All right, and what's the time on that, Coach?
4:00.
4:00. Matt, thank you so much. Stay safe, and you know, congratulations on getting out there and helping these kids out, and best of luck.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon, Coach. Thank you. All right. There we go. Let's see who this is. Hello? Hello?
Yes,
all right, good. I just finished with Coach Bouchard. I could not get you on, Coach, so you hang in there. Take a break. We're going to come back with the Winthrop High School football coach momentarily, I promise you. So hang in there, Tim.
I'll be here.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just 2 words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, man, this is long overdue. I want to welcome in Winthrop High School football coach Jonathan Cadigan. Coach, for some reason we missed you last year. I don't know why, but welcome to MSO.
Well,
Well, thank you for having me, and don't worry about last year. We'll worry about this year.
There you go. We're looking forward. And, you know, one of the things Tim and I respect so much, full disclosure, we're both teachers at Gloucester High School at one time, Tim coached baseball, I coached JV baseball for a while. But we have so much respect for the town of Winthrop and the kids at Winthrop High School, and we see a similarity, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, between Winthrop and Gloucester in terms of how the kids work in school, work in the community, and work in sports. And I wonder what your take is on that with respect to you're dealing with the Winthrop High School football athletes.
So I've been involved here at the high school for probably the last 20 years as a player and coach. So, you see things going around in the world in terms of kids changing and all those sorts of things. But I think at Winthrop, you know, just the demands that the school has on the kids and the football program, the demands that they have, I don't think those have ever changed. You know, obviously we're the smallest school in the conference, and I think we've always kind of wore that as a badge of honor, you know, being able to compete with the bigger schools. And it gives you a kind of chip on your shoulder immediately when you step on the field. So we always kind of, not play that up, but they're always aware that we are the smallest school, and they're always, you know, our kids are always, like I said, aware of that kind of aspect of it.
Tim?
Coach, I went to Dom Savio when I was in high school, and we always scrimmaged Winthrop basketball, baseball, and I got the opportunity to get to meet and know Henry McCarthy, the legendary coach from Winthrop. And yep. I always had this great respect, even from that time when I was in high school, of Winthrop. Again, you know, I always consider them dirt dogs. You know, go out there and throw the glove on the field and just, you know, let's wrestle and see who finally wins the game. And how tough everybody played and how competitive every game was, no matter what sport you played against them. So as I've told people through the ages, nothing but the greatest respect for Winthrop, for the kids. I had an opportunity to teach there for the first semester back in 1978 when one of the teachers took a sabbatical, and Henry passed the paperwork in that allowed me to get an interview and get the job to take his place. And it was a lot of fun teaching there. There was a great faculty. You could see the camaraderie within the faculty and within the kids. And that's what, again, as Rick mentioned, every game against Winthrop was always tough. You know, and especially early in 2000 when Gloucester and Winthrop were so good, each team would go to the other guy's home field and beat them on their field. You know, just to make a point of it. You know, Gloucester would win one year and then, in Winthrop, and then come back to Gloucester and Winthrop would win. Mm-hmm. So it was like, Jesus, can't we get this going here?
First thing, you know, my wife is actually a Savio grad, so
okay.
You know, that's
there you go.
So I guess there's some good people over at Savio. From my perspective, football in the last 20 years, like I said, I was fortunate enough to play against, you know, the Orlandos and the Eunices and the Mackeys.
That's fortunate.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was one of those things where when you go against those kids and you play, you know, for four quarters against those guys, you know, the rest of the league isn't, it's just a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it got you prepared for, who you would face the rest of the year and, you know, even in the playoffs if you got there. But, I've always had the utmost respect for, Gloucester back when Coach Silva was there and Coach Ingram, even Coach Cerulli, the way the program is run up there, it's kind of a model. It's a model franchise in a sense that it's very similar to us. We're probably the southernmost outpost. They're the northernmost outpost.
Yep.
So, not many people leave the bridge and go from Winthrop, you know, not many people leave the bridge from Gloucester. So, it's always, I mean, it's like I said, I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for how they run their program up there. And now with Coach O'Connor being a former Gloucester guy and me being a former Winthrop guy, you know, I think we're probably trying to instill the same values that we learned from our coach.
Well, the trip for Gloucester to Winthrop is the road trip from hell. And I don't know if it's the other way around from Winthrop back to Gloucester, but and I mean that respectfully. And Coach, your kids, you know, playing in the NEC South, renewing the relationship, the rivalry with Gloucester. Tell me a little bit about your team, Coach, and who you got coming back and what the prospects are.
So this year we have 16 seniors coming back, which for us at a school our size is a pretty substantial amount of kids. We actually have six seniors that have actually been playing and really starting since they were freshmen. So, you know, when you look at that kind of experience in a high school setting, especially this year with, you know, all the restrictions going around, we were kind of able to pick up where we left off in the summertime when we kind of got shut down. So, you know, we have, Tyler Rockefeller, who is one of our captains. He is a two-time All-Star in the league. Bobby Hubert, he's, back-to-back 1,000-yard, pitcher. He's a two-year All-Star. We did have Dylan Daugherty transfer in from Everett High School. He was the quarterback at Everett. He'll be under center for us this year. So that's obviously a boost coming from a premier program like Everett. And we have Ryan Hovermill, who's playing running back for us. He's been a defensive back and a running back for the last 3 years. You know, Stevie Perule has been a lineman for us for the last 3 years. I mean, a lot of the guys that I'm kind of naming here have been through the fire in terms of, you know, they've kind of taken their licks for the last 3 years. And now it's the time where they're, you know, the bigger kid on the block, per se, because they're the seniors. And they're really excited.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting that you guys were able to do that. And nothing but respect for you coaches in all the sports who were able to work with these kids and keep them safe and so on. Coach, how about your staff? How's that looking?
So, you know, the good thing about it, and I'm sure it's the same way up in Gloucester, is, you know, pretty much everybody on my staff has been a captain of a Winthrop High School football team. Our offensive coordinator is Bobby Niblett. He was the captain in the 1991 season. Our defensive coordinator, and you guys might remember this name, James Trusillo. He was
yeah, we do.
He was the quarterback and the MVP of the league on the Super Bowl team in 06. Our offensive line coach, another captain in the 96 team, which actually Gloucester came down here and beat us 6-0 in a mud silk game to prevent us from going to the Super Bowl that year. But so that's Chris Ferrara, on that team.
Yep.
Another offensive assistant, Mark D'Ambrosio, who was quarterback of that team in 96. I have a Savio guy on the roster. Mark DeGregorio, it's his first year coaching with us. He was a Winthrop kid that went across the bridge to go to school at high school at Savio. So we brought him back, which, you know, we're nice guys.
Coach, I came over several bridges. I came from Lynn to go to Savio.
That's a hike. I mean, our staff, it's a testament. I think it's a testament to our football program in terms of, you know, what it has given each member of our staff, you know, having gone through the program and really being the best of the best and being a captain of their team, and, you know, having them guys come back. It's really an honor for me to have those guys come back and be a part of it.
No, that's great. Coach Fusillo was one of the first guys to help us get on the air back in 04 or 05. And we're not Gloucester homers, Coach, just so you know that. We're NEC, Northeast Conference, Cape Ann. We love all you guys and all the sports, and we promote them all. What's your first game coming up now?
So we open up this Friday at 5 p.m. at Peabody.
Okay.
You know, Peabody, and it's kind of, you know, the theme of our program. Peabody is one of the biggest schools. We're obviously the smallest school. We're excited to be, you know, get going. It'll certainly be a definitely a test for us early on. But we're excited for it. We're excited. We're ready for the challenge.
Give me the time again. Was it Friday you said?
Yeah, Friday at 5 p.m.
Okay, good. Yeah, all these times are changing. I got to write them down as we go along. Hey, John, great meeting with you. I'm going to check in with you from time to time if that's okay, and I don't want to be a stranger anymore with you.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate the coverage. You guys have been awesome. I enjoy listening to you guys. Enjoy kind of trying to pick up any little tidbits any other coaches are talking about.
Okay.
But I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate the coverage.
Thank you,
I really
Coach.
Do.
So thank
send
you.
Me a note. I'll ask the particular questions you want answers to. Rick doesn't let you do that, but I have no qualms about doing that.
Yeah, just give me, we just get the trick plays and, you
there
know,
you go.
who's playing this week and we'll be all right.
What are the guidelines as far as in attendance? Is it parents only, one per household, or?
Yeah, so right now it's looking like it's parents only, two for a kid. So, but I mean, I'm sure it's kind of like that up in Gloucester in terms of the winter parents are a little nutty. So I would imagine that, you know, around the whole outside of, you know, Miller Field there's going to be some people there, you know, trying to watch the game. So.
Oh, God. Coach, great meeting with you, and it's typical Winthrop High School. I love it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, great to talk to you guys. Thank you very much.
Stay safe, man. Good luck. All right, bye-bye.
Have a good night. Stay safe.
All right, that is Winthrop High School football coach Jonathan Cadigan. We will take a break, and we'll come back if all things work. Tim, wish me luck. Gary Larrabee will be with us.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All righty, it worked for a change. Yay, I did something right. We want to welcome Gary Larrabee, golf writer, sports historian, all-around good guy. Gary, welcome back, man. How you doing?
Great to have you with me, boys, and great to be with us here as we get into the middle of March. How about that?
All right. I have just one thing to say here because it's the only golf I know, and then I'm going to let you and Tim wax poetic. But I think I read today that Phil Mickelson has dropped out of the top 100. Did I read that correctly?
I have not seen that, but if you saw it, I'm sure it's correct.
I can verify that, Rick. Sports Illustrated was reporting it. It was a span of 1,425 consecutive weeks.
Wow.
Since 1993, Phil has been in the top 100, and he fell to number 101.
Shame on Phil. That's a hell of a run. That's a hell of a run of golfing excellence for Mr. Mickelson, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, and you know, and again, he's had to play through some tough times, some surgery, some illnesses, and he's always managed to keep his game together to such an extent that kept him in that top 100, Gary.
Yeah, he's struggling right now to play with the regular guys, but. He's playing and he's won one or two Champions Tour events, and I'm sure we'll see him as a former champion at the Masters next month, and we'll see how much game he's got left.
Certainly, and he does add, you know, when you're looking at tournaments, I think he's one of those players that when you look at either the leaderboard or you see the list of the guys who are going to be playing, he's one of those names that you expect to see going to be at every tournament, but especially the majors. You expect to see Phil there, and of course he's won, so he usually gets the exemption to play. But again, he's one of those name golfers, the quality guys that have won, that have been at the top of the leaderboard. You know, throw it back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know, we were a lot younger, and there was that stable of top quality golfers who appeared every week, Saturday and Sunday. And Phil's been one of those guys over the last couple of decades.
He's probably been the second best player in the world over the last 25 years. We know who's been the very best. But we'll see how his career continues now that he's 50 years of age. We should talk briefly about yesterday's big winner, which of course was Bryson DeChambeau. He won the Al Palmer tournament down at Bay Hill. He's now won 8 PGA Tour events. And Tim, I have to believe that he's going to be among the very top favorites at Augusta National next month, even though he didn't play there well last fall.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We talked about this last week, that the way that he's been playing and the way that he's been finishing tournaments over the last month or so, that he was priming himself for a run at the Masters. And then what does he pull off this past weekend? He wins the tournament, which I think is only going to raise the betting on him being the odds-on favorite come next week.
Very likely. I guess he's playing this week. I think everyone's playing this week at the Tournament Players Championship down on Ponte Vedra, Florida, near Jacksonville. Two exceptions, of course, will be Tiger Woods, who's still recovering from his car accident, where speculation continues to grow that he most likely just fell asleep at the wheel, even though this was at 7:15 in the morning. And also, Brooks Koepka will be out this week, I believe. He re-injured one of his knees over the weekend at the Arnold Palmer Classic, and there may be some question whether he'll even be ready for the Masters, but that's still 4 weeks away, so we'll have to find out when the time comes.
Yeah, now, so certainly, you know, in terms of competition for Bryson, certainly if Koepka can't be there, that certainly eliminates one of the threats to challenge him for the title.
Yeah, we don't know how serious this knee injury is, but we'll find out soon enough. But this week is the Tournament Players Championship, and lots to look forward to with that tournament. A little bit of local news, guys, to share with you. This is a great trivia question for you, Tim. Do you remember who said this many, many years ago? Golf is my life, and I love it. I'd play with rocks if I had to.
Hmm.
Remember who might have said that with a local player of prominence?
A local player of prominence in the past. Local guy.
You'll never get it because she played like 100 years ago. We're talking Margaret Curtis. Margaret Curtis, 3-time U.S. Women's Amateur Champion from Essex.
Wow.
Manchester by the Sea, and the founder, of course, of the Curtis Cup match with her sister. I just stole that from the new issue of the USGA Golf, you know, I got in the mail today.
It's good.
Of a more pertinent teaser, if not, I can't give you the real hard facts yet, but we have determined who will be the 6 inductees this year into the Massachusetts Golf Hall of Fame, since I'm a member of the committee. And I will make note that there is one very prominent North Shore personality who's no longer with us. He has passed away, but he will be one of the inductees. And I can't tell you who yet because we haven't made the official announcement, but something for you guys to think about for when we can talk about him.
Okay.
Down the road.
Well, that's a hell of a teaser. So how long is that going to be? When do we do that?
It's going to be a few weeks, I think. We want to get into the golf season before we make it.
Okay. Okay.
There'll be 6 inductees. There will be 2 living inductees and 4 deceased inductees.
Okay.
But the one of the 6 has roots on the North Shore, which is thrilling to me. And we'll talk a lot about
him
once we can get that out into the public airway.
Very exciting. Hey, Gary, when does the column start up again?
We'll be starting up Masters weekend, the first full week in April, and getting that underway sooner rather than later. It's just a few weeks away.
Right. All right. So that's coming up in the Salem News. And anything else you want to promote here, Gary?
No, I think it's just great that we're getting, like I'll tell you, with this thing, guys, if we get this good, four or five good days of good mild weather this week, very unseasonable, we may have another March start to the golf season on most of the local golf courses. Keep our fingers crossed.
I love the optimism. Gary, you stay well. Great talking with you on a Monday night as usual. Sorry I was late, but we'll do it again next week.
Hey, late is great when you need it to be.
Okay. Stay safe, Gary.
Take care, man.
Talk to you later. All right, that is the great Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and in general, walking sports encyclopedia. And you know what's funny, Tim, is we stick to golf, but man, you go off on any topic locally in terms of sports, high school sports, and Gary's got it right there. It's right on his desktop in terms of his brain.
Yeah, he constantly tries to embarrass me with the trivia.
I was going to say it's easy, but no, it's easy for me. You guys are good on golf, and Gary, God, there's nobody better. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Nobody Better Too with Mike Renner. We're going to talk a little basketball and maybe his analysis of what went on this weekend, how the Celtics are doing, and anything else he might want to mention. Maybe some local guys who are playing on the collegiate or professional level. So we will take that break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns, and we'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back live. Mike Renner, also a sports historian of sorts, but more importantly, a sports writer in the area. Longtime Salem News writer, but Mike, I always talk about you as a basketball analyst, but is there any sports that you haven't covered?
No, honestly, that's an interesting question. But over my years at the Salem News, I even did some polo over the Ethiopia polo grounds.
There you go.
A little bit of yachting,
yep.
With Marblehead Race Week. Just about everything except cricket. I don't think any.
Oh my God! Listen,
I'm not sure.
Tim, you with us? Are you there? Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, my very first assignment at WESX, Mike,
yes.
Back in 78, I think it was,
yes.
Norm Durkee assigned me to the Marblehead, yacht races over at Eastern Yacht Club, I think it was called.
Right.
And, Mike, I didn't even know what the hell a yacht was. Come on. I came up from Texas, okay?
Yes.
And, And I had no idea what I was doing, and it was a gentleman there from the Boston Globe.
Oh, things have changed, right?
Yes, well, really, not much. there was a great sports writer there that I was familiar with whose name was John Ahern.
Yes.
And he introduced himself to me. He came up to me,
yeah.
And he had that little fedora on, and he had an expense account, which was great, because he took me to lunch every day, and he guided me through everything, and...
Oh,
at that
great.
At that time, I think he was probably in his 60s. He was headed toward retirement.
Sure.
I think he was riding yachting, and he had been a golf writer. But he, too, he was telling me stories about interviewing Muhammad Ali and interviewing Ted Williams. And, as a kid, it was the most amazing stories to listen to. But the fact that he guided me over there, and you've been over there, so you know what it's like. It's kind of...
Yeah, it's great.
It's not like being on a ball field.
Yeah, it was not in our ball field. It was not in our sphere of influence, right?
No.
Yeah. So that's great that Ahern did that. I do remember that name. I do remember running across him at a couple of events. You're right, and he was close to retirement at that time.
Yeah.
But it's great that he took you under your wing to give you some sort of guidelines to go by, because remember all those classes at the Marlboro?
No.
He had these different boats, different classes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know a dinghy from like a... like all these fancy...
Like a 36, 12-meter, yeah.
Exactly. So, I'm glad somehow that we mostly covered basketball, football, baseball, and hockey,
But for you, me, Tim, and Gary, and Bill Newell, and Phil Stacey, and all those guys, it's like we have this little kidness, isn't it? And we get to keep that kid in us, you know?
Yeah, there's no question. We still get excited about things. I'll tell you what, guys, one thing I was not excited about this weekend was that NBA All-Star game in which the halftime score was 100-80. And so I decided that I wasn't going to, you know, I did not tune in even for 1 minute, as much as I love basketball, because I knew that game has become sort of like an extension of a Globetrotter exhibitions. You know, the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, having fun and, you know, throwing confetti and water. And I think it's just kind of one step removed from a Harlem Globetrotters entertainment package, you know?
But, Mike, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters will play 5-on-5 against the Washington Generals.
Right.
I don't think there was an instance of 5-on-5 that entire game yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it must at 100-80, and someone must have told him at halftime not to score 200 points, because to me, you're doing basketball a disservice, the real game of basketball a disservice, when you just degenerate into no defense and just clowning around and dunking and doing all these crazy things. And to me, it's a mockery of what real basketball is about.
Yeah, well, you know, I was telling Rick, I turned the game on, I watched three possessions up and down.
Yeah.
The same guy from one of the teams stood underneath, big white guy, stood underneath the basket and got three consecutive rebounds.
Uh-huh.
Because a couple of guys came down, threw the ball up, they missed, he grabbed the rebound, outlet pass, he didn't move two steps down the court.
Yeah.
The other guy's on the other end, whoever got the ball, threw it up, it got rebounded, sent back down the other end, and I went, oh, this is pathetic.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
Even kids playing school yacht.
Yep, exactly.
Playground basketball is better organized than that.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think about it, All-Star games have sort of taken that route. Anyway, whether you're talking the Pro Bowl, the NFL, the NHL, I know it's always like a 12-9 game. But baseball, at least you have a competition there, because the pitchers who are selected for the All-Star team want to compete and show how good they are throwing the ball. The hitters are competing against the pitchers, and that's why you get actual games. There'll be a 5-3 game, a 3-0 game, whatever. You're seeing real competition because the offense, which is the hitters, want to show their offensive skills, and the pitchers want to show their pitching skills, so therefore you actually have a competitive game.
Okay, Rick, what did I say at the beginning of the show? Come on. You couldn't have forgot it already.
What did you say at the beginning of the show?
I said the exact same thing.
Oh, well, Mike, he said the exact same thing.
He was validating my opinion.
You're right.
And, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't, for a listening audience, I don't mean to repeat that. I'm sorry I missed the beginning of the show. Tim, I apologize to you for that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because you saw the exact same thing that I saw. And the section of the All-Star game is exactly the same. Baseball plays for what it is, except for that loop-tune period where Bud Selig decided, oh, well, since the managers used everybody and I basically had to call the game off, which was stupid, you know, you let them out. Okay, we're going to have the outfielders or anybody else who wants to pitch, and we'll have somebody win the game.
Yep.
Okay, then he says, well, let's tie it to the home team of the World Series. That used to piss me off.
Yep. That's at least a competitive game, though, unlike these other games, which really, if you're any kind of fan, you kind of turn away from it because not much to watch there.
Mike, let me ask you, before we get an update on your look at the Celtics, which is kind of interesting, last week, three games. Do you have any updates or look at some of the kids who are either from North Shore playing college or in the pros, like Connaughton and that kind of thing?
Oh, my God, yes. We have to keep our eyes. Creighton University, where the great Bob Gibson, the pitcher, who became a Hall of Fame pitcher, played basketball and scored over 1,200 points there. Creighton University is ranked in the top 15, and Marcus Zagorowski, who won a state championship at Hamilton Wenham Regional as a sophomore. I think they went 25-0 under Doug Hoke, the coach there. Great guy, longtime baseball coach. And Marcus was just named to the Big East All-Star team. In other words, like first team all Big East. And he scored 32 points on Saturday, tying a career high. and
against Butler.
He's having a great junior year as a point guard. And actually, you know, I was looking at it, Rick, and he actually projects in the second round. If he were to come out, he's a junior right now, the point guard. Definitely the floor general, leader, averages almost 15 points per game. And he's projected as perhaps a second-round draft pick, sort of a Peyton Pritchard type.
With
Olympics, you know? Somebody who would be drafted maybe in the 20s, 23rd, 24th, 25th, somewhere in there.
And he's legit. Hamilton won him.
Hamilton, he's born and bred. His folks still live in Hamilton, Massachusetts.
How about that?
And, of course, his half-brother, stepbrother, is Michael Carter Williams, who is now in his eighth year in the pros and was NBA Rookie of the Year back in 2013. So that whole family has had excellent athletes. But Marcus Zagorowski is a legitimate, outstanding college player who they're going to make the NCAA tournament. They're ranked in the top 15, top 20. And I think they're going into the Big East tournament. They are seeded number 2 behind Villanova. So, you know, they're obviously going to the NCAA tournament, Rick. It's a matter of where, if they do well in the Big East tournament, they might have a number 2 or a number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. So
very cool.
He's a kid to watch out for. I tell you, he's a tremendous all-around player. Yeah, he scores, but he's definitely, he's sort of like comparing him to a Celtic, he'd be, a combination of Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart, because he's not nearly as quick as a Kemba Walker, but he definitely distributes the ball, he can score, he plays some defense, he's just a hard-nosed kid. And he's a kid to watch, because he may end up, let's say, entering the draft this year and getting drafted in the second round, or he may choose to play his senior year at Creighton University.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mike, you talked about Marcus last week, and then he had the big game, and I saw your article, and I'm going, boy, talk about setting people up for this this news column.
Zagorowski, I think he's a great kid too. I tell you, he's a super kid. His parents have always been strict about him going to school. When he left, obviously Hamilton Wenham, his parents knew that that's as far as he could go at Hamilton Wenham, and they wanted him to go to a prep school where he'd be seen by the big time colleges. So he went to Tilton. I think he went to Tilton University in Tilton School, I believe, in New Hampshire, and he once scored 57 points in a game. 5-7. So obviously the big schools noticed him, and he had a choice of scholarship offers. But you know, Creighton, it's comfortable. It's the Big East, so it's big time competition, and he knew he could get the start there. I believe he was a starter from his freshman year on. So he found a niche there where he could get a lot of playing time from the day he entered college. So he made the right choice. He's had a lot of playing time at a great school, and they're ranked in the top 15 in the nation. So what the heck, you know?
All right. So let's take a look at the midpoint of the season. I made the mistake of watching, of listening a little bit to local Boston sports radio last week, and that was a huge mistake because I haven't listened to them all year, and I made a mistake of listening to them, and of course, they were absolutely trashing the Celtics for a three-game winning streak. And of course, they're all over them. Well, this team didn't have that player, and that team didn't have this player.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the games that the Celtics lost against opponents who didn't have three or four of their starters. And right. So I'm not qualifying that. I'm just saying, okay, a win is a win. It may not be the road to the NBA championship right now, but they might possibly be riding the ship. I don't know how you look at it, Mike.
Well, you know, I think it's undecided. I'm completely flip-flopping on this team because they look good for a couple of games and then they look bad for a couple of games. And you have to take into account the Raptors were missing three starters. I guess we'd call them the Tampa Bay Raptors right now. And then but let's see how it goes. The first three games coming out of the break here, starting on Thursday, they play the Brooklyn Nets, who have the second-best record in the East. And then they have a game with Cleveland or somebody like that. And then they play the Utah Jazz, who have the best record in the NBA, the entire NBA. So two of these next three games are going to be against really quality opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And the Celtics will get Marcus Smart back, hopefully in the next week or so. So we'll see how they fare against the top-notch competition. I think that'll be more of a barometer of where this team is at. Right now they're two games over 500. They're sitting right there with that 19-17 record. There's two or three teams right there with them with eight. The New York Knicks are 19-18. They're one game, half a game behind the Celtics. So if the Celtics are going to separate from anybody, they have to start stringing together a 4, 5, 6, 7 game winning streak to be in a better playoff position. Right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are like 3 games ahead of them, all right? They're like 20-21-14 or stuff like that. So the Celtics have to get their act together if they want to be in the top 2 or 3 seeds to get that home court advantage. Even if the fans aren't there, or they're just there to a limited extent, it's so important for the Celtics to have home court at least through the first round.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Quick aside, Mike, what do you think is the Connecticut Husky women?
Well, I mean, they win every game by 126 points. So, you know, it's hard. I mean, how do you pick against them? You know, I mean, you just can't pick against them. I always rooted for Notre Dame, of course, when Muffet McGraw was the coach, and they won a couple of championships. They beat UConn along the way, and I took a great, I relished that. It's sort of like watching Duke. It's sort of like watching Duke lose in the men's tournament. You
know? I know my wife says, "Why do you watch them? They always win, and they kill the opponent." I said, "Well, it's not so much that they always win. It's the way that they win. It's the style of basketball that they play. It's unselfish. They spread the floor.
They do.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
They play wicked defense."
And obviously he's a great recruiter, right, Tim? Oriyama's a great recruiter because he winds up with the top 5 or 6 players in the country every year.
And 4 national players of the year in the starting 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're,
you know, we've got the number one recruit coming in next year as well. But winners attract winners. You know, nobody said no to John Wooden when he was winning all the championships.
Right. Do you remember when the women's NCAA Women's Final Four was held at the Boston Garden about 10, 12 years ago? And I went to that, and it was a great take. Maryland, I think, won the championship. It was a great take. The basketball was extremely competitive. The fans filled the building. There was a lot of electricity in the building. And, you had the 4 best teams in the nation right there at the Boston Garden.
You know, it's fundamental basketball at its best.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pass, cut, pick, roll. I mean, they do it with such precision and build it down 5 times in a row on offense and kill you 5 different ways.
That's right.
You know, they can run the fast break. They automatic into transition. They can go high, low, post, 3-point outside. And nobody's in the same place 2 possessions in a row. So,
I agree. All those great teams in the women's division are well coached because obviously the women's, they don't have the athletic skill that the men do. They're not going to get away with mistakes. By that I mean get away with mistakes by displaying their athleticism and dunking the ball and getting by people with their speed and quickness. So the women's teams are far more precise in what they do. And I also say this, they're much better foul shooters. the women's teams, the best teams, their foul shooting is ridiculously great.
You know, I watched the special documentary yesterday on Cheryl Miller.
Yeah.
And what an athlete she was. And that whole USC team that won 2 consecutive championships in 83-84. What an unbelievable story.
Well, do you remember the local girl in the high cupboard when she was at Masconomet, Breon Stephenson?
And yes.
She was an early commit. You know, actually, Gino Auriemma wanted her, and she basically changed her mind. And probably because there was so much talent there, she might not have gotten much playing time. But she had a very good career at Boston College. And she was like a 3 year. I know she tore her ACL 1 year, and though she had an extra year of eligibility, which she used to pursue her master's degree at BC. So it was a great thing for her. But she had a very good career there. It was a really excellent player in the Big East at Boston College. What a great kid she was.
But he's noted on the local level, I'm not sure, as an 8th grader.
Right. I remember that. Yep.
In the varsity basketball.
Yep.
She played 6 years at people would be amazed right now, right, guys? In those days, because Masconomet, the MIA said you could play as long as the roof covered the building and your middle school kids could play. So she started as a seventh grader and an eighth grader, and they won the state championship under Coach Bob Cleary as a sophomore. They won the state championship, and of course, Breanne was by far the best player on that team and the best player in the state that year. And it was great to see him win a state title.
All right, boys, we could go on all night, but I'm getting the high sign over here. Mike, will you be able to get back to the Garden and cover some games in person?
Yeah, I'm hoping to do that. Nick Giannino of the Salem News, who covers basketball, I'll check with him and with the Celtics, because I do want to get back in the building as long as it's safe. Now that I've been vaccinated twice, I'm feeling a little bit more, secure about things.
That's great. That's great. And, I'm very happy for you. Congratulations. The more people who get vaccinated, the better off we all are. So
that's right. I want you guys to get vaccinated. I want both of you guys to be vaccinated fully.
Stay away from them.
Amen to that. I'm ready for that. All right, Mike. So listen, it's good. The Celts back, I think, on Thursday night is the next game.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
All right. And so we'll pick it up from there, and we'll see you next Monday.
We'll see if Kyrie Irving plays that night or whether he takes a trip to Neptune.
I was just thinking about that. I'm thinking, Kemba seems to be getting stronger by the week, and so that's a good sign.
Yeah, let's hope they can keep the winning streak extended by beating the Nets.
There you go. All right, Mike, thank you. Stay safe. We'll talk to you Monday.
Take care. Thanks an awful lot, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
That is Mike Grenier, who was a continuing sports writer, and this is great, Tim. We're just going to go on, another 100 years or so, I think, doing this, don't you? Why not?
As long as you eventually get a shot,
Oh, geez, God, please, I know. I spent hours. Anyway, I'm not going there.
The Connecticut women, they're now on.
I'll get it someday. They lost a game this century, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They lost to Arkansas. And they were number one, but they've been number one since, I think, the game after that.
Yeah.
I love watching them because they play so well. And then the two times they lost in the semifinals, they got beat on last second shots, one in overtime. And that was just a killer for me, like a dagger.
I'm sure. Hey, Coach, it's been great, man. Thanks for staying with me and being patient with me. Sorry for screwing up tonight, but we'll work on that.
Nothing I haven't seen before.
I know. Well, you'll be back in studio here soon, so I'm looking forward to that. Tim, stay safe.
It's already UConn, 7-0 over my cat.
All right, we'll talk to you next Monday. Go watch your game.
All right, Eric.
Good night, Tim. Thank you.
Good night.
All right, that's Tim Kearns, our sports analyst and our ambassador of goodwill. Certainly appreciate it. Bill Newell, of course, organizing everything for us. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer, and I'm Rick Moore, and I want to thank everybody for participating tonight. It's great to talk with everyone, and thank you for joining us. If you have any comments that you'd like to send along or request, please do so at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. This has been North Shore Sports Night at MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Good evening and stay safe.